You're listening to Peppermint Tea with
Anna Clark
and Olivia Bossett.
We are two friends who decided to start recording our virtual meetups while we're having to distance ourselves physically during the current global pandemic.
We hope you enjoy listening to our conversations.
So, hello and welcome to another episode of the Peppermint Tea podcast. Olivia, how are you? How has your week been?
I'm good. It was not what it was meant to be. I was supposed to do a bunch of photo shoots last week and then it ended up being all rained off because of the weather. So I ended up having a different week, but still productive. How was yours?
Yeah, it was good. I actually ended up spending a lot of time doing my 6 month review because we are now 6 months through 2020. So I was going through kind of all of my achievements and anything that could have been improved on in the last kind of 6 months in my business. And also was doing like planning for the next 90 days, because I think I talked to you about it as well, about how I'm shifting to kind of planning quarterly rather than every 6 months or every year, because it just makes a lot more sense right now with everything being so changing in the economy and business world. So I did a lot of planning, which I always really enjoy doing. Just a random self-promotion bit here. If you do want to work out kind of your 90-day plan or do any kind of planning or reviewing for your own business, I do have a blog post on it and a free workbook that you can go and download on my website. It's barrysanna.co.uk/blog and it's up there. There's a workbook that you can download for free.
I actually downloaded it myself and worked through it, so it was very good.
Amazing. Oh well, if you can leave the link for that in the podcast description, the episode description, that'd be great. Have you been watching anything different this week?
Yeah, so we watched the Salisbury Poisonings, which is like a three-part show on BBC that they started airing last week. So it'll be on iPlayer now. It was really, really good. It was about the Salisbury poisonings of the two Russian, father and son, the father and daughter.
Is it a documentary series?
It's not a documentary. It's like a, it's based on the real thing, but it's an acting, like a show.
Oh, cool.
I don't know how you describe that. And it's, so it's pretty accurate. I assume it's pretty accurate, but it was really gripping. And
oh, don't spoil it. I might want to watch it tonight.
Okay. Well, there's great. Three episodes. They're very good. They're very intense. Be prepared.
Okay. Anything else you've been watching? Sorry, I've cut you off because I really don't want you to spoil it, because I'm really interested in that. I remember when that was out in the news, and it's just such a crazy story, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I won't say any more. And that's kind of all I've watched that's new, so that's all I'm going to mention. Mm-hmm. What have you watched?
I mean, yeah, we haven't really watched anything else new. I don't know if you pronounce it Dynasty or Dynasty, whatever you want, but we watched that. It's kind of like a cheesy ongoing long series on Netflix about these rich people in America. It's very, very cheesy, but it's really easy watching. So we've been watching that for the last kind of 3 or 4 weeks. But okay. I did yesterday watch on Disney Plus the new like Aladdin that's with real people, the Disney one, which was, yeah, it was good. I didn't really like the guy who played Aladdin. He was very like smug. And I think his character is supposed to be quite smug. Like, he's supposed to be a cocky kind of like a street urchin kind of kid, isn't he? Yeah, I wasn't a fan. He was very cocky, but the rest of the actors were great. Will Smith is the genie, which is really cool.
Yeah.
That makes it really entertaining. And I do remember some of the music, but I don't know. Did you ever watch Aladdin when you were younger?
Oh, yeah, it was one of my favourites. So I've seen, like, the original a million times.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen the new one because I don't know how I feel about the live-action remakes of everything. Like, I kind of love some of them, and then others I've been like, was that necessary? Because I really enjoyed The Lion King. I thought that was really good. And I watched Cinderella years ago when it was out in the cinema, and I really, really enjoyed Cinderella. But there's a bunch of others, haven't there? And I'm just not sure. I'm like, why do we need to make all of them again?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I love the original so much. It doesn't ruin them, but it makes them less kind of classic. They did do it like scene for scene, which I appreciate, just like they did with The Lion King. They did do it scene for scene. But yeah, I have been avoiding kind of the rest of them, but everyone said that this one was really good. And it was good. I just didn't like the main guy. Aladdin. Was just so smug. And I think the thing is, when you're watching the old Disney movies, like the cartoon versions, I don't know, it's just something different about the characters, isn't it? They can be really cheesy and it can be like that because it's a cartoon. Yeah. And the things they say, the one-liners can just be like, you know, I don't know, it's a cartoon. I don't know if it's whether it's because you're a kid when you're first watching it, so it doesn't matter, or whether it's because it's a cartoon. But there's something different about actual actors saying the same script. It doesn't translate, like, I find it very cheesy.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But in other news, like randomly as well this week, I forgot to mention, I've ordered a new sofa. I can't remember if I told you.
Yes, you did tell me.
Yes, I'm very excited. But it's from DFS and it's going to take 3.5 months.
Oh my God.
To get here.
That is mental. Like, we ordered a new one last year from IKEA and it came in, I want to say like 2 weeks, because IKEA's mental. But sofas do take the longest to arrive, and I don't know why.
I expected them. I expected it to be a long time, and I was like, you know, it's got to be like maximum 2 months. Like, I do know they take a while because they're I think some of the DFS ones are custom made, and it is a custom made one. But on three and a half months—that's more than a quarter of a year. It's going to be the end of September. By the time it gets here, but it's worth it because it's really good value. One, it's just kind of like a grey corner sofa, and we've had our IKEA one for it was mine in my old house, and I've probably had it for 6 years, but it's all kind of broken. It's one of those like pull out bed ones that just that bit's broken on it, and it's just covered in dog hair, and I just want a nice new sofa after, like, as a treat after this lockdown, seeing as we've all spent so many months indoors on our sofas. It feels like the right time.
I feel you. I have a new random thing I can share.
Go on then.
I tried a new fake tan last night.
Oh.
And it was really good. It's the Bondi Sands Aero 1 hour tan.
Oh, is it like a foam one?
Yeah, so it comes out like a mousse and then you put it on, but it feels almost dry immediately, which is great because I hate fake tanning. I really hate it. I hate the feeling of having like sticky stuff on your body and then having to sit in like your ickiest clothes because you don't want to touch anything that will make anything else go gross. And I also was just looking for the thing that would make me tan the fastest possible. I was in Asda yesterday and I was browsing because I literally ran out of my old ones. So I was like, what's the one that's going to do it the quickest? And this one was probably one of the pricier ones, but it did say it would do it in an hour. And it even said like you could do it for half an hour and just get like a light tan and then an hour and you'd get a darker one and then two or three hours and you get really, really dark tan. And to be honest, I don't think I would leave it on for much longer than an hour because it's made me quite dark already. So love that.
Amazing. Love it. I mean, I still just use literally the £4 Samaritz one.
I know.
Which they have like an instant version which does a similar thing. I leave it on for the full 4 hours and it's so dark. Like, and then when I rinse it off, then it becomes like a normalish kind of tan colour.
Yeah.
But I don't feel that it is sticky for a while, I guess. But I don't feel like that one's too bad. But if I ever get sick of it, maybe I'll change. But I've literally used that one for years and it's so cheap.
I mean, if you like it, stick to it, because if it works for you and it's cheap, because real, like the fake tans I've used in the past have always been so expensive, and this one is not cheap either, but I'd rather spend a bit of money and have it do something quickly for me, because otherwise I don't use them. If I buy something that's going to take 8 hours and I'm going to feel sticky in, I'll use it once and then I'll hate the process, so I'll never use it again.
True. Have you used it on your face as well, or do you use something else?
No, I use the Isle of Paradise drops in my moisturizer on my face.
Oh yeah, I remember. Nice. Well, we've both been discovering new things then. have you been reading anything new this week?
I have. I finally started reading The 1% Rule, which is a book you recommended a few weeks ago. And it's really, really good. Like, a great book. I've been making notes in my iPad and going back through it. And yeah, it's really, really good. I haven't got that far through it yet, so definitely got more to get to. And then I've been reading another book kind of on the side that I was recommended through that webinar that we did a couple of weeks ago. Called It's Not Your Money. I can't remember who wrote it. Tosha something. It's a very woo-woo book. Like, it's even difficult for me to read at times because it's very...
Whoa. Really?
Yeah. But it's easy to read. It's very nice because it's basically about kind of giving up all the control all the time over how everything's going to happen, because you just can't always control how life is going to go. Or... yeah, it's quite nice. I'm enjoying reading it. There's a lot of it's actually not that focused on money, weirdly enough. Like, the whole premise of the book is how if you give up a little bit more control and don't hold on so tightly to your dreams and hold on so tightly to your desires, they'll just happen. Which is, you know, do you believe that, do you not, doesn't matter. Just, if you know, that's, everyone's got their own choices.
Just go with the flow man.
But so much of it hasn't been that focused on money. It's been more about like decluttering your space and making room for new things. And yeah, it's very woo-woo, but I have been reading it like a chapter a night, just browsing through it. And I don't know if I'm loving it, but I'm reading it and it's interesting.
I've been reading a book called Ikigai. I think I'm saying that right. It's like, you know, when that little book of who, or however you say it, came out a few years ago, and they've done a lot of different things based on words and concepts taken from different countries. So Ikigai is from Japan, and it's basically the art of like living a long, fulfilled life. Mm-hmm. And it kind of goes through all these studies about longevity and like studying the people in Okinawa in Japan who are like the longest living people. There's loads of people there who have lived till like 110 and above, and kind of studying their lives and what they say is kind of the key to living a long and fulfilled life. Mm-hmm. And it's all about, I guess, finding your purpose, which I think someone mentioned it to me on Instagram, because I was talking about finding your purpose for your business and knowing your why and how that makes everything easier. And then someone said, oh yeah, it's like the concept of Ikigai, which I had heard of before, but I'd never actually read a proper book on it. It's really good. It's like, you know, just saying, if you have this Ikigai, which is your purpose in life, you're going to just live like a, so in a much more fulfilled way, because you'll have like a focus. And that's what a lot of the people who live for, you know, hundred years plus, they are so focused on having a purpose, and they're never just floating around without anything to do, if you see what I mean. But yeah, the books, yeah, it's really interesting. There's loads of studies in there. It makes me really want to go back to Japan a lot, because they are talking about a lot of the places that we did end up going, which it's kind of like, oh, I want to go back there, but I probably won't for years and years and years. So on the topic of reading, this is what we wanted to talk about this week, because I know that someone mentioned to you the other day about like, do you guys, we were always talking on the podcast like about what have you read this week, do we read a book a week? And I do get asked as well, like, how do you fit it all in, like to read read a book like every single week?
Yeah, so it was one of my best friends, Georgie, who will probably be listening to this episode, asked if I read a book a week, and I had to think about it, and I was like, yeah, I think I actually do.
It's impressive. Like, I wouldn't say, I think it depends on the book. So with non-fiction books, generally they're a bit shorter, they're easier to scan, they're easier to like take in bunk-sized bits and skip the bits that you don't want. So non-fiction books, yes, I can read a book in a week, maybe even more. But fiction books generally take me about 2 weeks, I'd say. So I only just finished that Uglies one, and I've got the second book in the series now. And yes, by the way, it is the one, the book with the cover that has dolls on. You asked me that last time. So I've only just finished that one a couple of days ago, but so that took me about 2 weeks as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like when is it that you read, and how much do you think you get through?
Yeah, well, I mean, so when I was a kid, I didn't read at all. Like, all throughout my childhood until I was 20, I hardly read. I read the occasional book. Like, I got really into Twilight when I was 16, and I read those really quickly. But I never read Harry Potter. Like, I never read any of the books because I was a bit dyslexic. I found it quite hard to read. And also, I just got bored of fiction books, and I never really gelled with them. And so when I was about 21, my mum, I think she randomly either gave me the book Quiet or I found it in her office. And it's all about being introverted. And I remember reading the blurb and thinking, this sounds like me. So I read it, and it was probably the first non-fiction book I'd ever read. And I was like, this is life-changing. This is so interesting. And that was the point where I started reading nonfiction, and I've never stopped. And like, I'd say that I read every evening for sure. So I get into bed around 10, between 10 and 10:15 most evenings. And I'll read anywhere from 45 minutes to half an hour to 20 minutes. However, you know, if I'm really tired, sometimes I read 15 minutes and I can't do anymore. But yeah, without fail, every single night I read. And then if it's a really sunny day on a weekend, like, I love to sit on my balcony and just read my book. If I'm on holiday, I go through like 3 or 4 books.
Yeah. No, I'm exactly the same. So every evening, and this is something that I'd say I've only started in the last like 2 years, but instead of what I used to do was watch TV before bed, or watch something on my iPad, or go on my phone. Obviously, everyone knows that's really not great for sleep. Although even though I do now read before bed, I wouldn't say that my sleeping is cured. I still do have issues sleeping, as we've talked about before on the podcast. But I can definitely tell the difference between if I've been watching TV and then try and go to sleep, or been on my phone and try and go to sleep, versus reading just before. But I would say, yeah, about 40 minutes a night, because we go to bed well early. And I read for about 40 minutes to an hour. And again, yeah, if it's a nice sunny day on a weekend, I might read outside. On a holiday, I read. But generally every night, and having that as a habit is like a really good way to get through things. I also think that something else that's really helpful is to keep a list of all the books that you want to read. So like whenever you see a recommendation or something online of something that you really want to read, make a note of it. I've got like a list on my notes app on my phone of all the books that I want to read, and then every time that I come to the end of one, or I feel like I might just slip back into watching TV before bed, I'm like, oh, actually, I look at the list and I think, oh, I'm actually really excited to read all of those. So and I also like to So in my background of reading, I did read a bit as a child. I read all the Harry Potter books. I read things like his Dark Materials, the Golden Compass ones. I read all of those classic ones, and all Jacqueline Wilson books, by the way. I read all of those. But then I think I got to about age 12 and I didn't read a single book till I was like 22. So there was about a 10-year period where I didn't read any books. I just was only watching TV and movies and stuff like that, and I didn't really fancy it. And then I randomly got into non-fiction books because I was, I guess, starting my business or looking more into like self-improvement type books, health, about health, nutrition, stuff like that, and just got more and more into it. And then I can't remember when it was, maybe 2018, I set myself a challenge to read 12 books in a year. So that's one a month. And I did that in that year. So then last year, 2019, I set my challenge to read double that. So 24 books in a year. So that's one every 2 weeks. And I did that and I surpassed it. I think I did 26. And then again, this year I've set the challenge again to read 24. And I think setting yourself a challenge and having it on like that notes app in my phone, again, I'm like, I love lists and I love ticking things off. That's just the way my brain is wired. So I love seeing like once I've finished a book, I can tick it off my list and like have my little list and see how many I'm at in terms of like reaching that goal of 24. So if you kind of gamify it or turn it into like a goal oriented process, that really helps to motivate me to actually, I'm not going to watch that tonight. I'm going to sit and I'm going to read my books because I want to hit those goals. that seems very like typical, like, oh, I mean, Anna just wants to tick a list off. But
no, yeah. I understand that. One question I have for you is, how do you make sure that you actually absorb all the information? Because that's one question I get from people, is like, okay, it's all well and good reading all these nonfiction books, but how do you remember everything? Because it's true, like you, sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other, or one eye and out the other, I don't know what I'm talking about. But and it's true, like it can be hard to absorb all that information. I know that I have started recently writing notes down in my iPad, which really helps me to kind of just skim through the book again after I finished it and then write down everything that I want to remember. Just the act of doing that makes me repeat it and makes me remember. But then also, if I have a physical book, so if I don't have it on my Kindle, I am such a writer in my books. Like I will underline things and I'll make notes. You know this because I've lent you books and you've been able to read all my notes. My boyfriend thinks I'm mental because I'll sit there at night with a pen and like scribble in my books, and he's reading whatever he wants to read, and just I look like a crazy person. But that really, really helps me to remember stuff.
Yeah, you're so right, because I think that is a danger, like especially if I'm just like ticking books off a list, like whether I'm actually absorbing the information or not is a good question. And because, and I know we've talked about this before, like the difference between having your Kindle, having books on a Kindle and having physical books, there is actually like a really big difference with that. And I think, oh, I'm being all efficient, like having it on a Kindle so I don't have loads of books, it's slightly cheaper, I can travel with it, it's great. But actually I think we've both found that it's probably better to read fiction books on a Kindle where you don't want to make notes, and actually having non-fiction books as physical books is a lot better to help you absorb it, because you can write, you can make notes, you can flip back to the page where you remember a certain bit was. And I do find that easier, but I have stuck to my Kindle because I don't like clutter and I don't want to have a load of books in my house. And also it is slightly cheaper and it's just easier, like at the end of, I don't have to wait for Amazon to deliver me books, I can just download it on my Kindle. So I have stuck to that. And I do use the highlight feature on Kindle a lot. So I highlight a lot of quotes and like key messages throughout the book. And then I do regularly go onto my Kindle highlights on my desktop and read through those, because I like to take my key messages from books that I've read and turn them into social media content. So when I'm doing my social media content planning, I will then go and look through the highlights that I've made in my Kindle. So I do re-look at those. So it's similar to making notes on a page. I couldn't do what you do and make the notes in bed, because then I would be wired. Do you know what I mean? Like if I had a notepad there and I was making notes, my brain would be so active that I don't think I'd be able to sleep.
I don't have the iPad next to me in bed. What I do is I read. So if I'm reading on my Kindle and I can't make physical notes on the page, I will just read it and like absorb the information, and then I'll go to sleep. But then the next day, or within a few days of reading, or if I finish the whole book, I'll make a point of blocking out even just an hour where I open up a page in my GoodNotes, one of my folders, and I'll just start, and I'll literally like add a title at the top of the page of the book, and then I'll just write down all the key things I want to remember that have really struck me as important and I feel like I want to take action on. And that's how I've found I've done it, and it's worked for me quite well.
Yeah, no, that's a really good idea, because I think I think to myself, oh yeah, I'll do that. I'll just read the book and then I'll go back over it to pick up the key messages again. And I rarely do, because I just think, oh yeah, I'll do it the weekend and then I never do it. So yeah, I would like to have that kind of discipline to make notes. And I will say, like, with books that I've read, like, I think a lot of them tend to say very similar things.
Yes.
And like with anything, if you read that once in a book, yeah, maybe it doesn't stay in your brain, you might forget about it, but the more you read, the more like those messages compound each other, because a lot of authors will talk about the same thing, especially to do with business and marketing. Yeah. Like, and as you read more, similar to listening to podcasts, like, yes, a lot of podcasts probably talk about the same topics in terms of business and marketing, but the more you listen, the more it goes in and just absorbs into your brain and you just end up knowing it. If that makes sense. But yeah, no, I definitely think I could be better at taking notes. I'm a very visual person, and I think the act of having it in front of me as a note that I've written is a lot better than trying to remember. Like, do you ever get, like, when you have a physical book, I don't know if you're super visual enough to get what I mean, but like, you'll know roughly where in the book each bit that you want to reference is, and you can go back.
Sort of, not necessarily that precisely, but I can make a wild guess.
Yeah. See, I'm very, I'm don't know what it is, but I am so visual. Like, I can literally tell you, like, roughly whereabouts in the book things are, where on the page a certain message was.
Wow.
But obviously I'm not reading physical books, so then I don't have that feeling. Like, with a Kindle, you've got no idea. It just tells you a percentage at the bottom of how far you are the way through the book. And so I'm not able to use that skill. So then it does make me think, oh, maybe I should read physical books more. But
yeah.
It's a tricky one.
One thing I do is, you keep a notes app on your phone, like a list of all the books you want to do. I don't do that. I just put them straight in my Amazon wish list. Whenever I need to buy a new book, I just literally open up my wish list and look at what I'm interested in. And sometimes I'll batch order 3 or 4 and just they'll be like my books for the rest of the next month or two. And I don't buy any others or order any others until I've read all of those ones. And that works quite well for me.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. I do like, I haven't quite got the hang of Amazon wish lists yet, because I set it up as like an affiliate thing for my Cornish Life blog. So I've got like a load of lists that people can like click to see what products I recommend and then click to buy those. But
I've got that too, but I think that's separate.
Yeah. Is it? Oh, I thought it was the same thing. So I was always worried that if I add something to my wish list, it will go onto one of those lists that other people can.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, well.
Because mine's full of random stuff that I also need to get, like, you know, like a sponge or something.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Oh, well, I'll check that out for sure. In terms of, like, just talking about the visual and audio learning thing, because I know that you are a visual person as well, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like, in terms of learning.
Yeah, yeah.
And just interestingly, like, you were the one who got me into podcasts, because I always told myself I can't listen, I can't like audibly take content in, I can only read it and like visually see it, and that's the only way that I can take content in. But actually, like I said, with like the reading, the more you do it, the more like you learn something. With podcasts, yes, like, oh, my mind might get distracted and I might not take everything in the first time I listen to something, but the more you listen to different people talking about the different things, the more it does go in. And but the caveat to that, which I think is interesting, is I still don't like audio books. I wouldn't want someone to read me a whole book. Do you listen to audio books?
No, I've tried in the past. Like, I've said to myself, oh, I've got loads of like retouching and editing to do, I'll listen to an audiobook. But I find they're just too long and I don't have enough time to spend going and listen and concentrating on that. Whereas a podcast is anything from half an hour to an hour long, which is just about the right amount of time I think I can spend on one topic.
Yeah.
Like audibly.
Yeah, it's weird though, because like I will listen to a podcast. It will tend to be like if I'm working out or if I'm in the car.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking to myself, like, I could listen to books that way, but I think there's something different between getting like a bite-sized piece of information that's like quickly delivered to you in a 30-minute chunk of a podcast versus trying to take in a whole concept audibly. Just isn't something that I personally would be able to do. But the reason I bring it up is like, if you are not a reader typically, or someone who typically learns visually through visual mediums like books, you could look at, you know, filling like dead time, like when you're working out or taking the dog for a walk or going in the car, fill that time with audiobooks, and that could help you like basically read more but without having to read. If you don't
I know loads of people who listen to their books instead of read them, and they find that is the perfect way for them to learn, and that's absolutely fine. It does not need to be done in the way that we're doing it. I will say that I've found that the more I've read over the years, because now I'm really fast, but I used to be a really slow reader, like painfully slow, because I was dyslexic and I learned to read quite late compared to most other children. I just found reading so difficult, but these days I can read stuff really quickly, and it's improved my spelling and my writing.
Yeah. Oh, I'm totally with you on that, because I was the same, like, not, I didn't have dyslexia or anything like that, but I was always a very, very slow reader and would take ages to finish a book. But I do think it is something that you can practice, because another thing is, when I was like 22 or whenever it was, and I was getting back into reading again after 10 years of not reading at all, I found it really hard to just focus. And I think a lot of people of that kind of age range, like, we're always on social media, we're always like, our focus is always being distracted, life is full of distractions. We find it like, it's actually concerning how hard it is for young people and like people of a certain age, I think, to actually focus on one task. And I found it so hard to get back into reading. My mind would be like halfway down a page, it would wander, I'd have to reread pages about 10 times over to actually for it to go in and my brain not wander all over the place. So I think actually having a practice and like a habit of reading and getting that practice in has made me such a better reader, and it's helped improve my focus, because you are like training your brain to just hone in on one activity and not wander all over the place and just be present. And I think that's actually quite a good like way of just training yourself to be more focused.
You literally used the 1% rule to teach yourself to read better.
There you go. Bringing it back to your daily habits that can, improve your life if you keep doing it.
Yeah. Like that's the book I'm reading right now is literally about how if you do one thing every single day for a year, you're going to improve by 365%.
And literally,
that's how it works.
Yeah, and that's living proof. So everyone, if you want to read better and be more focused, reading is great. But I think the sum up is, you know, if you can't dedicate the time to reading, or if you're just not, it just doesn't go work for you, then there are other options like audiobooks, and even just like practice reading like long form blog posts or listening to podcasts.
Magazines.
Like, yeah, magazines to ease yourself in. If you're not in the habit of it. I think that's all we've got to say on the topic for today. And if you want to catch more from us, obviously, you know, you can head to our Instagrams and chat more about like books, any recommendations that we've got. We do, I think, both share them on Instagram, don't we? Somewhere on there. But thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back again next week with another topic. Remember, if you want to get more business content from me, you can head to byrosanna.co.uk, which is my website design and online education business. Or if you want more personal stuff, head to thecornishlife.co.uk for my Cornwall lifestyle blog.
And if you'd like to check out my fashion photography portfolio, head to oliviabossert.com. And if you'd like to learn more about the business of fashion photography, head to oliviabossert.education.com. Thank you!